None of us probably need to be reminded of the Arctic blast that has us in its grip this week. We're also accustomed to bouts of snow and ice in Wisconsin winter.
However, the Soil Science Society of America hopes that when it comes to the ice, we'll think twice about the salt that's commonly applied to driveways and sidewalks.
The group says the salt that blows off pavement or flows away with melting ice and snow is wreaking havoc on soil systems and, in turn, on the plants that depend on them. Too much sodium, the society says, and soils cannot retain important plant nutrients.
Lake Effect Susan Bentz reached soil scientist Mary Tiedemann to learn more. She's currently working on her Ph.D. in soil microbiology at Florida International University. Tiedemann began by explaining why she gravitated to the world of soils.
It started with a field trip. I was able to do a study abroad trip in Ghana with a soils professor at Iowa State. And I was an environmental science student at the time, but the focus of this 3 or 4 week trip was natural resource management and the impact of land management on soil quality. And I went on this trip and was absolutely addicted, came back and signed up to be a part of the agronomy department immediately afterwards.
That's really cool. Talk to us about the basics of soil composition.
Sure. So there is a mineral composition as well as organic matter, which people probably hear a lot about. It's kind of the glue that keeps everything together, as well as an organism factor. But mainly put, there's a mineral component, there's an organic component, and then oxygen and gases, as well as water. And those things all comprise soil.
So a balance of those, the right proportions, is the magic.
Yes, exactly.
So then what happens when in our part of the world, not in Miami, Florida,
sure,
ice and snow can be prevalent, and a common treatment is salt.
So some complications that can arise. One very important aspect of soils is its structure. So you can think of structure being, we call them aggregates, but they're crumbles of soil. So a really healthy topsoil is going to almost look like cookie crumbles. And when salt enters the picture, particularly sodium ion, they can create a chemical reaction which essentially makes the aggregates fall apart. And these aggregates are really important because they allow water to infiltrate through the soil, they allow roots to grow without any inhibition, as well as a gas exchange. So roots give off CO2, but they need oxygen, and having very loose, healthy soil aggregates allows for the movement of all of these different things that are essential for plants and animals.
Does that salt stick around if it is present? If it does find its way into soils, is it there indefinitely, or what does it take for the soil to rid itself of the presence and the impacts of salt?
Sure. So it takes several years, and this is all dependent on the texture of your soil. So if you're in an area where the soils are very high in clay, then it will take longer for the salt to wash out. And this is because clay particles are very fine and have a very high surface area. And so it's much more difficult for water to flow through soils that are high in clay. And essentially, the magical formula involves the amount of water that is able to flow through the soil system. Because the water essentially is what carries excess sodium out of the soil profile. So anywhere from a few years, if you have consistent and fairly steady rain, but if you were in a drought situation, that sodium will stay in your soils much longer.
It seems like a double-edged sword in a way, Mary, because you don't want to damage your soil. On the other hand, you need to treat roads and sidewalks often in some way because you don't want people slipping and sliding and hurting themselves.
Sure, of course.
But then also, if that is used, that it's either going to be in the soil and or make its way into a water system, right?
Sure.
And that
yeah.
comes with downsides as well.
Definitely. Yeah. Our article didn't cover any of the issues with water impairment, but that's also a very big issue. But I suppose the best guidance that we can give is everything in moderation, that ultimately if you can do your best to limit the amount of salt that you use in your driveways and sidewalks, the better. And if you're concerned about your yard, there are ways that you can limit the movement of salt into your yard, whether it be by planting shrubs that are more salt tolerant or applying salt in a particular way that can limit its movement. There are tips that can give you the best of both worlds, I suppose.
I also read being proactive about shoveling and the use of kitty litter or sand for traction. How well does the kitty litter or sand figure in as a solution or as an alternative?
Well, so kitty litter and sand, they serve a different purpose. They don't melt the ice like salt will, but they assist in traction, in building traction. So there may be ice on your roads, but they won't be as treacherous to walk on or to drive on. There is also a way that you can apply salt to your roads by just adding a little bit of moisture to them. I did a bit of a calculation before you called, and for 1 pound of salt, you would only need about 1 or 2 ounces of water to mix with the salt before you apply onto your sidewalks and roads. And that will allow the salt to stick to the area that you intend for it to work. And it also kind of activates the road salt and makes it more effective, which in turn allows you to use less of it.
So you're a member of the Soil Science Society of America?
Yes, I am.
It's pretty interesting. It was founded in 1936, and it's based in Madison, but its membership is international, I believe. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, worldwide.
When I read soil is the reservoir in which most of life on Earth depends, it's compelling. Whether it's your yard where ecosystems should or you hope are alive to agricultural fields.
Yeah, we soil scientists are pretty motivated. We're as a soil scientist, I recognize that there's a lot of work to be done in all different avenues of studying this natural resource, whether it's soil biology or the impact that humans have on soils, whether it be our application of road salt or urbanization, the production of food. There's so many different exciting topics revolving around soils that it's keeping a lot of us busy and excited.
So is there a tidbit or something you've learned about soils that you find just utterly fascinating that might make people think about salt and other ways they treat their soil?
One of my favorite fun facts is that there are more soil microorganisms in a teaspoon of healthy soil than there are people on this planet.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So you probably didn't think you'd be talking about salt at this point in your career.
Well, I've been a native Iowan my entire life. I was born and raised in Iowa. And so I've only been in Miami since August, but it seems a little funny that it's not until now that I get to start writing about wintry weather. But
life is full of surprises.
yeah. Well, and it's nice to know that all of these experiences throughout my life can still be applied.
Absolutely.
Hopefully people can trust someone living in Florida to tell them about road salt.
I think so. You did a great job.
Thank you very much.
Mary Tiedemann is a member of the Soil Science Society of America and is currently a PhD student at Florida International University in Miami. She spoke with WUWM's Susan Bentz.
You'll find a list of tips on reducing impacts of salt on your soil, as well as a link to Tiedemann's blog post on the subject on our website, WUWM.com.
Though the interstate is choking under salt and dirty sand, and it seems the sun is hiding from the moon. Your daddy told you when you were a girl the kind of things that come to those who wait. So give it a rest, girl. Take a deep breath, girl, and meet me at the Bay State tonight. And the snow is coming.